Yeah.
How many of you can think of a time that you needed to see, physically see something to really believe that it was true?
We have all heard the phrase before, seeing is believing.
Yeah.
We probably know what it means. In order to fully accept something to be true, we must actually see it. Now, for me, when I ask myself this question, I remembered a time where I really struggled to believe something. It was about 30 years ago, and it was when the pregnancy test that I bought at the drugstore said positive. I was about 23 years old, married, and wanted to start a family, and I had been trying for a couple of years, and I was giving up hope with the countless number of negative pregnancy tests. When the positive sign finally appeared, I was ecstatic. But to be honest with you, I doubted the results. After all, I didn't feel different. I didn't look any different. And I had no way of knowing that I was actually pregnant. So I did what any good scientist would do, and I went and bought another pregnancy test, just to make sure. And that one was positive too. Well, I had to make a doctor's appointment to have them check, because after all, official results are even better. And would you believe that one was positive too? Well, maybe I am pregnant, but I still didn't believe it. Without any signs, I have to admit that I really doubted my situation. To be honest, it wasn't until I started to show and began to buy maternity clothes that I started to believe. I used to always say that it was a good thing that it took 9 months for the little one to grow, for one to truly comprehend the mystery of life. As my child continued to grow, I believed a bit more. When the doctor let me hear her heartbeat, I doubted a little less. When the baby kicked, I actually got scared, but I believed a little more. But to be honest with you, it wasn't until she was born and I could see her and hold her did I really start to believe that I was a mother of a beautiful, healthy little girl. I remember being in such awe at the little hands and the little feet. I remember getting up and walking to that hospital baby window room just to make sure she was still there. I share this story with you to paint a picture of how doubtful and skeptical our society can be. When it comes to believing something, we want proof. And when we want proof, we want the scientific kind. We want and need genuine, honest-to-goodness physical evidence. We have a nickname for people who don't believe, don't we? Anyone know Doubting Thomas? That's right. I, for one, believe he got a bad rap. And so, I'd like to take a few minutes to make a case for poor Thomas. What I hope to show you is that he was actually a model disciple, one we could all stand to be more like. If you back up to about a week before the crucifixion, you'll find that Thomas had more than proven his loyalty to Jesus. Here's what happened. Jesus got word that his friend Lazarus was ill. Lazarus lived in Bethany. And Bethany was only a couple miles from Jerusalem. The problem was that the last time they were in Jerusalem, Jesus had so offended the Jewish leaders that they threatened to kill him. Now, Jesus was being asked to go back to that area where he was sure to face further hostility. The other disciples begged him not to go. They said, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you there, and you're going back?" Only Thomas stood there with Jesus, and he said, "Let's go, that we may die with him." Thomas was anything but wavering in his faith. He believed Jesus was the promised Messiah, the kingdom of God was at hand, and he was willing to sacrifice his life for Jesus. When it came to the resurrection, it wasn't Jesus that Thomas questioned, but the disciples. I say good for him. After all, when they seen Jesus walking on water, they thought they saw a ghost. Go back with me to the evening of the first Easter Sunday. 10 of the disciples were hiding in a locked room. Judas had committed suicide, and Thomas was nowhere to be found. Why wasn't Thomas there? The scriptures do not tell us. We can only guess. Was he the only one brave enough to go out? Was he sent to get food for everyone? Was he isolating due to intense grief? Regardless, Thomas was not present with the other 10 that Easter evening. Now, all of this seems out of place with what happened earlier that same day. Some of the disciples had seen firsthand the tomb that Jesus was, and it was empty. They had heard the angels and from Jesus himself that he had risen from the dead as he had promised. With news like that, the disciples should be shouting from the rooftops and every street corner. But that's not what they were doing. Rather, they were cowering in a locked room, fearful of what happened to Jesus may actually happen to them as well. And then when we think Jerusalem to his crucifixion, one can hardly blame the disciples for hiding and his disciples. That meant that the disciples could suffer the same punishment as well. In their very limited thinking, they thought that hiding. But I wonder, who were they really hiding from? From God, too? Think about it. Remember back in Genesis when God called to them? They hid. Why? Perhaps the disciples in their own way were hiding from God also. After all, they denied that they even knew Christ. That was right after the Passover. After four of them had seen the risen Lord, they were still not willing. They still did not believe. They still doubted. What is the first thing that Jesus said to his disciples? Does he say, "I'm concerned"? This reminds me of a story that happened about... Now let me back up and set the stage for this story. I was teaching a lady who lived in Smyrna also. And that particular day was my day to drive, not infiltrate. Somewhere around the ages of 15, 16, and 17, with three young teenagers, you quickly recognize that you really don't need to know usual, but a trip to the principal's office was. I asked that there was a picture posted on Facebook that showed my son is my house. I quickly left work and headed for Smyrna, so there was alcohol. My son was suspended for a couple of I remembered something. You know, that feeling you get when you realize that you had done. In my angst and my turmoil, I had just simply forgotten. I was absolutely terrified. I drove a little slower. Came out, she opened the car door, and she asked me how my son. The same amazing grace that Jesus showed the disciples that Easter night in with you. Shalom is not just a polite greeting, but a holding they could have received. Instead, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Somehow, Jesus managed to appear in that locked room without being noticed, with peace and comfort. This is not just an empty greeting. This is full of disciples must have felt. It was exactly what they desperately needed at that. The disciples were glad when they physically saw the Lord them again. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, and then Jesus was gone again. Well, and told him, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas probably replied, "I'll hands, and the hand in his, but I put my hand in his side, I will not believe it." Testimony of the other disciples. In this sense, he's no different than the other nonsense, and they did not believe them. Furthermore, favors, he just wanted to be treated the same as the others. Jesus appeared on the wave of another one's faith. We want to have our own encounters, and we read that the disciples are still behind a locked door. Why were they proved unconvincing, and because Thomas still didn't believe, prone to doubt, easily troubled, and out of their front door in the morning. Jesus loves his disciples, went back for doubting Thomas, to come back for the one who doesn't believe, chance after chance to become the people of great faith through that door without bothering to knock. Every week, Christ's unlimited love and Christ's refusal to let our doubt get in the way of a relationship on the second Sunday of Easter. But that's not the end of the story. You can put as many locks and deadbolts on the door, and another time after that, as many times as it takes, as goes to his friend Thomas and asks him to touch him, but the doubt of the disciples as well. When Thomas hears this command in response to this confession, does not congratulate Thomas, in fact, a gentle rebuke. There aren't any harsh words, but Jesus says, because they had seen him. But Jesus goes on, blessed are those who have that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that those who received John's gospel never had the opportunity to see his. But John wrote down everything so that we would hear about who Jesus was. Communion.